opus.
All right, this is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SesD, where I bring you news analysis from a sustainable Proudhonian anarchist trucker perspective. Talk about a lot of isms here, imperialism, colonialism, and I try to get to the root causes of things, not the symptoms, and it's mainly an open a dialogue. It's become commentary right now. I used to record lectures and interview people that were against state-sponsored corporatism. But right now I'm driving trucks, so I don't have time to do that anymore. So I'll probably play you a few of my past shows. All right, so a couple of concepts I want to lay down, and then I'm going to talk about Glenn Beck here. It doesn't matter what system you have, benevolent dictator, communism, capitalism, if you don't have an educated and informed citizenry, none of these systems will work. So that's where I'm kind of coming from on this show, is we need you extremists. I mean, without Malcolm X, there probably would not have been the success of Martin Luther King. But what I'm trying to do here is, because I talk to a lot of truckers, trying to get into what is common between the two sides, what we can all agree on. So, call me a centrist, whatever. So, I notice what's going on is there's fascism on both sides. A lot of what I'm getting from working class people, truck drivers, is don't tell me what to do, is their famous saying. So, we anarchists, we don't want to be told what to do either. So, there's some common ground there. But when you dump stuff in the air and dump stuff in the water and put fish and mercury in the fish, and you won't change from a dirty process to a clean one, you're telling me what to do. So that's not, that's telling me what to do, and so, yeah. So, but then there's some liberals. There's Chris Hedges is talking about the liberal elite. And as an example, I'll give you, Rob Reiner has gone totally berserk, and he, you can't even smoke in a bar anymore, so I just don't see banning cigarettes in a bar. And so what I'm getting at, too, is anytime someone is telling you what to do and not compensating you for it, then that's wrong. But if somebody is telling you what to do and we are compensating you for it, we need to change this behavior because it's hurting and killing people and animals and things like that, and we compensate you for that and you still don't change, that you're a fool. So, and I notice what's going on too is there's some liberal propaganda, like for instance the elitist, like I'm saying, we don't, elitist liberals, we don't want to tell you what to do. That and what is happening is, and I'll get into this more when I talk about Glenn Beck, is the state comes up with the worst possible solution for things instead of just educating people and to make proper decisions. They come up with these laws, and that's not what we're advocating at all. So there's some common ground there between centrist, more center-left and center-right, that we don't want to be told what to do either, and we don't want to tell you what to do. So, and it's the state does get involved, not in the way that Glenn Beck thinks it does, but the state does picks the worst possible solution to piss everybody off. All right, so, yeah, those are a few concepts that I'm trying to lay down with this show. So coming up, I'm going to tackle the problems with Glenn Beck. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Okay, so one thing I forgot to mention was listening to Ben Shapiro sitting in for Glenn Beck last night and a little bit today. And what he's done, and I'm trying to stay away from this issue right now, but I'm calling it the men's issue, Weinstein, the men's issue. He's blaming third wave feminism for the problems. And it reminds me, if you ever read the Turner Diaries, in the Turner Diaries, they blame the civil rights movement and the feminist movement for women getting raped because they're saying that women are left to defend themselves, that men can't defend them anymore, and the civil rights movement makes it illegal to prosecute black people, so women are going to get raped. So that's what he's taking a similar tack where he's saying that third wave feminism has made it that we need to be, it's taken away these family values, and that if people, for instance, he was saying that people were married, we wouldn't have these expectations and things like that. So it's just so ridiculous. So, and again, I don't want to get into that issue right now. So, but yeah, be aware of that. And please, at all times, use your own brain. Brain. Okay. It's hard to do these without being tangential, so I'm going to try and do this. So the problem with Glenn Beck, all right, I've divided it up into three sections, and there's myriads of problems with Glenn Beck, but I'm going to try to keep it under 45 minutes here. So the first thing is his religious affiliations. He comes from there's a problem with religious people that I have is they go, there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was basically written for people that had just come out of the trees, and most Jewish people will tell you this, they're stories that are trying to get people to be a little more civilized, and they really don't apply with educated, informed people nowadays. And so he believes that people are basically evil and need to be repent and be crack the whip, and they're lazy and they're going to make the wrong decision. I happen to believe that, again, this is an opinion, I guess, that educated, informed people will make the right decisions, especially in this day and age. So he also uses religion as kind of a click. It's, you know, it's a place to get loans. You go to the church to find people to sell to and borrow money from and help you out. That's the way he uses religion. And this other concept that a lot of these guys seem to have is that God, that if he wasn't right, he wouldn't be this successful. And that God put him where he is, and he must be right because he's rich and successful. So, no, that's not the way it works. And, you know, he's one of these two that, well, I'll get into that in a minute. So, and there's, like I say, he thinks people should be punished. And to me, when I read, to me, Jesus is just another philosopher that I read. And there's nobody being punished. Jesus isn't punishing anybody. They all want to put people, he's always wanting to put people in jail. And he thinks that groups of people are bad and need to be punished. So there's no punishment in the Christian Bible other than the only people that are being punished are rich people, as far as I know. And a test I do with rich people, I'm not claiming to have read the Bible, but I was taught, my grandmother was very religious, and I was taught that when you ask somebody what is the most important part of the Bible, I would say the Sermon on the Mount is the most important part of the New Testament Bible. A lot of times they'll do Job, where they're talking about having faith in God, that he's going to deliver you, and also that you're going to be absolved for your sins. They're always focusing on this. And for instance, they talk. There's a lot of places named Calvary Chapel, which is the story of Calvary Hill, where Jesus was crucified. And they use this to say that you're going to be forgiven, even though you've done bad things. And that's not what I got out of, maybe it's just me, but what I got out of Calvary Hill was that he was crucified with criminals around him, and he forgave them. And what he was saying, what I got out of it was that you're a product of society, and you weren't born evil, and that's why I'm forgiving you, is because you're a product of society. And you were, because Jesus was dealt with the poorest of the poor. He was in the Sea of Galilee. It was a bunch of poor fishermen. And to this day, fishermen, not only do they work hard in the ocean that is totally unpredictable. Okay, so the second problem I have with Glenn Beck is he's always talking about Israel and how great Israel is. And I have nothing against, I'm not anti-Semitic, I have nothing against Israel. But there is an apartheid situation going on in Israel, and what he thinks is that the U.S. must be right because might makes right, and so if they're our friends, they must be right, and we give Israel. It's the Likud party over there is what Netanyahu belongs to, and it's not even Israelis. That's the problem. It's mainly the a group of Israelis in AIPAC. We give Israel usually $8 billion a year. Obama even tried to cut that back, but they threw that out right away. Nuclear weapons. Israel has not reported, admitted that they have nuclear weapons. They call it ambiguous deployment. And so his attitude is, wow, it's a good thing that they have nuclear weapons over there because they're the only thing that's keeping the Middle East stable, which is completely the opposite. The only thing they're what is making the Middle East unstable. And what is, again, I don't want to be anti-Semitic, but what I think even Israeli, even Jewish people don't want to align themselves with this line of thinking because... what's going to happen is these guys, like I said, these guys are the ones that they want to bring on the rapture. They want, to them, Israel, the Middle East is where the apocalypse comes, and then they're going to be brought, taken up to heaven. That's their attitude. So they're just using Jewish people. First of all, you're being a pawn to sell weapons and to extract oil out of the area, and you're also... someday these very same people that the Likud party is aligning themselves with are going to point to Israel and go, look at what they did to the Palestinians. They're terrible people and they should be gotten rid of. That's going to turn around. That's what's going to happen in the future, what these guys will do in the future. So, and again, this is what the problem with Glenn Beck is, because he has everything upside down and backwards. So you can't call in his show and get this stuff across in a soundbite. He'll cut you off. What he's doing, and what most of these conservatives, him and Alex Jones and the other, a lot of them, what they're doing is they have cause and effect totally upside down and backwards. So the effects that they talk about, including, and Hitler did this too, they may be right about the effects, but the causes are completely wrong. They have them completely upside down. Which brings me to corporations. He's in favor of corporations, and see, this is not a libertarian. He's not really a libertarian. If you listen to Tom Hartman, and capitalism, bear with me here, those of you who don't like capitalism, there are no corporations in capitalism. This is what people get wrong. And he thinks that corporations, again, like Ayn Rand, thought that the robber barons were great people. What they don't understand is that, or maybe they do, is that these corporations have gotten to where they are by cheating. They have been sponsored by the state, and they are the true socialists, because if you look at the pie that of corporate of welfare, the welfare mothers get the same amount in the welfare pie as corporations. The corporations put that money in the bank. At least the welfare mother is going to spend it on cigarettes and beer. So this is the problem that he doesn't explain, that corporations, most of the robber barons were got that way because they were war profiteers. And like they're doing right now, corporations, they just put their money in the bank, and and it isn't distributed in society. So what else? So the I'm working from an outline here. Also, they just passed the tax reform, and I got some good news for you. Corporations never paid taxes anyway. I mean, look at Amazon, for instance. This guy has never shown a profit. I don't think he still has shown a profit, Jeff Bezos. Because what he does is he runs the thing at a loss, and he pays himself, I don't know exactly what he pays himself, probably in the millions of dollars. And then the stock goes up, but he doesn't pay taxes on the stock. The stockholders themselves pay taxes on dividends and when they sell their stock. So if your stock goes up, you sell it, they pay taxes on that, maybe, and they have their own write-offs. But corporations, see, they did nothing about the loopholes with this tax reform. So the loopholes are still there. And I use this example all the time because I know it's true. In the 80s, General Electric actually got $10 million back from the government for doing research and development. Now, if that isn't socialism, I don't know what is. And I'd like some money for research and development. Can I get some research and development money? No. But Edison seems to, or General Electric seems to, be able to get socialism, but I can't get socialism. So I can't get healthcare, but they can get $10 million for getting and they do money back. And they do this all the time. The other thing that I should have started with, too, is America is the way it is. I happen to like America, but the reason we are so successful is it was because of slavery. And if you read Howard Zinn, if you want the basics on this, that's why America is so great. So Glenn Beck is such a xenophobe that he thinks that we must be doing something right because we're so great and so powerful. Well, no. We did it on the backs of slaves. And like, you know, we've all heard this. We were white slave owners. The country was started by white slave owners. And slaves. So that's what makes, one of the things that makes America great. Now, there is another part of America that makes America great, was there was a period there called the Enlightenment period and the Renaissance, where we got away from religion for a brief period of time there. And by the way, we were started by people that were fleeing religious persecution. And so there was a period there when Ben Franklin discovered electricity. The reason these guys discovered this stuff is because there was a little period there where we had some enlightenment, and I'm not talking about the Illuminati or anything like that, but we got away from things like Michelangelo and Da Vinci. We're constantly doing things for the church. They had to do things, and Galileo constantly had to deal with the church. So there was a little period there, and that's when, admittedly, America was, and France, there were a lot of inventions happened during this period. And also, other countries had slavery, but we used slaves to work areas that nobody, it was completely backbreaking work that nobody could work. So we really maximized what slaves did. It's why we became so great. So getting back to Tom Hartman, another thing I want to mention is there's a thing in libertarianism. He's the true libertarian, if you want to listen to Tom Hartman. What he talks about is what's called the commons. There, and this is in libertarianism and in capitalism. What the government is supposed to do is maintain commerce. So what the commons is a place where when you have a contract with somebody, you need a third party that is totally disinterested to hold that contract and hold these things. And in my own opinion, you know, the libertarians, you can't have a, there are certain things that just can't be privatized. They tried prioritizing the fire department in the gangs of New York, and the competing fire companies would actually try to stop the other fire company from putting out the fire so that they could be the ruling fire company. So, but if we had a third party in there, in the same way we build roads, you have private contractors build the roads, but you have a third party in there that makes sure that the interests of the public are kept in check, and that these guys do the right thing with the roads and healthcare. There's nothing wrong also with a pool of pooling your money together. These are not socialist concepts. Pooling your money together to get a better price, that's not socialism. And to get better healthcare, when you pool your money together, and I talked about this before, the state really works for corporations. I've had personal experience in this when I used to design fire alarms. For briefly, I'm not an expert on this fire alarms, but the standards are developed by the manufacturers. They all sit in a room, the manufacturers, the insurance companies, and representatives of government sit together, and that's who decides what standards are used. The insurance company wants a building put underwater because they don't want to pay out on the claim. The manufacturers want to sell as much of their product as they possibly can. So there's a book called Owner Builder in the Code, where he claims that you can build a house with much smaller wood, but the timber manufacturers made requirements to have things built out of 2x4s, raising the cost and selling more wood. I've personally seen this in trying to do gray water for sustainability. They have the plumbing association, and by the way, all these companies have associations. This is why we need unions, is because they associated first. They did this first. And like I say, what happens is people are exploited first, then we get regulations. It's not like Glenn Beck thinks that people just wake up and start regulating things. So, I'm sorry I went off on a tangent. The plumbing manufacturers for gray water came up with this elaborate Rube Goldberg contraption that you had to do gray water. All you really need to do, it has a pathogen that gray water has pathogens in it that are aerobic. So they need to be kept away from the air. So all you have to do is put a pipe underground where it isn't exposed to the air. You can run gray water out there. And rainwater capture systems too. They have this huge plumbing code that you have to do just for just to capture rainwater. It's ridiculous. So this is where generally the state works more for corporations than they do for you and me. Because when they do come up with a solution, it's just a solution that pisses everybody off. I'll give you another example. Is Freon. When they got rid of Freon, which of course they should do, instead of compensating the air conditioning manufacturers, they just said, no, you're not going to use this anymore. You have to buy this product over here, which raised the price of air conditioning and made it difficult for air conditioning manufacturers. Instead of compensating the air conditioning manufacturers for their loss. And again, also, the workers for these situations, they have to be, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be coal miners, you're going to have to be retrained, I can't help that. And we should pay you generously. The amount that we spend on wars, we can pay you a lot of money to retrain you. And frankly, I think that we should pay people to educate themselves. And this is the last concept I want to run by you. We've done this for 10,000 years of punishing people, and it may be true that people are lazy, okay? But why don't we try educating people, and then we'll figure out and get everybody fed and clothed and housed and happy, and then we can go back to punishing people. If there's still some people that, if I pay you to educate yourself and you just want, there might be somebody that's just going to sit there and just be a full-time student for the rest of their lives. And just let themselves be paid to be a student. Well, let's try that and see what happens, and then we'll deal with coming up with something to do. Those people may have to be institutionalized. or something. But the real, what I suspect is the real psychopaths are the ones that are running multinational corporations. And those may be a case for forced sterilization and forced lobotomies. Although I'm not advocating that at all. So let's see, what else? Yeah, like I said, corporations are not capitalist, and that's where he falls by the wayside. Is he thinks that corporations are just going to be right. In fact, they're what they are is they're not even that even not, that isn't even what they're meant for. They're meant to take on a huge project like a rocket ship to the moon or a space elevator. You know, you would get a bunch of small companies, because who do you really want to make your gaskets for your space shuttle? A small company that all they work on is gaskets, or a giant corporation that does a bunch of different things? I'd rather have a small company that all they work on is one thing, one or two things, and they're experts in that one thing, and they competed fairly with other people, with other small businesses, not by cutting labor costs, but by creating a better product. And that's how they come up with a good product. So, like I said, that's what he doesn't seem to get, is people in the environment are exploited first, then we regulate. If you, and again, one other thing, I'm sorry. If you want, you capitalists out there, if you don't want socialism, then step up and educate people. My father used to get he had a heart attack at 50. And his medical, and this was in the 70s when open heart surgery was brand new, cost a lot of money. His company, which he was just middle class, wasn't a banker, wasn't one of these rich bankers like we have now. This was back in the 70s when bankers were paid just middle class. But he had a pension and he had medical. And this is what businesses used to do. They used to take care of their workers. So if you don't want socialism, pay for it. It seems to me it'd be better to pay for all of us to pool our money together for education so that people can get a well-rounded education. It seems to me that that would be a better thing. But if you don't want to do that, fine. Pay for people to be educated. Pay for a well-rounded education. Pay for people to have pensions. And pay for people to have a living wage. And you know what? I'll bet people won't want to have a lot of kids and be lazy all the time. Let's try it. And then if you don't want socialism, hey, pay people what they're worth. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Talk is cheap. Coming up, as usual in this show, I try to give you a few things that you can do. Okay, I have this fantasy that I've been working on where the farmers markets, and again, I try to use their own rules against them, the status quo, the corporate militarists, their own, it's kind of an art to me to use their own concepts against them. And it's ninja, call it ninja too, whatever, ninjas do this too. So, the farmers markets, what I'd like to see is them turn into mutual aid societies, where a place where you can go and they take all comers. You know, at least I gotta say for the food banks, they might be religiously sponsored, but the food banks take all comers. So the farmers market, mutual aid society, go down there. They tell you, you know, who's where to stay, who's got some free lodgings for you, and hopefully they would have some medical stuff, some basic medical things like where we have these apps now that check your blood pressure and check your blood into your smartphone. But what I've come across just recently too is, they would have a place, they would do some training for you all around an alternative currency scheme to get out of the dollar. And what I've just heard about recently is, sorry, my voice is going, is Gridcoin is a coin where you, they're in combination with Boink, B-O-I-N-C, which is a computer program that they do research. They take, instead of having a giant grid computer that's very expensive, they use a bunch of people's computers to do research with cheaply. So Gridcoin pays you to do that. So what I'd like to see is the mutual aid societies would hook you up. You know, they had a repair shop for a computer where they refurbish computers, hook you up with a computer, and now you, this is what, where I think technology, the robots aren't going to take over. I think the robots, there's a way to make robots work for us. And there's plenty, there's a whole universe of research out there that we can be doing. And then you make money off of these, off of what you discover with the research things. And we progress, and it's utopian. So yeah, one of the things they would, that these mutual aid societies would do would be train you and hook you up with a computer that you could make money from. And the way they have it set up right now, you only make a little bit of money, but you know, if we had hundreds and or thousands of research projects that go were going on at the same time, and like I say, there's a whole universe out there of research projects, this is, we could all support ourselves. We could have a robot, a computer robot, working for us and earning at least our bare essentials. And then you can pursue art and other stuff and make money other ways and whatever you want to do. So, yeah, as soon as we can stop using corporations, the better. August G, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. And thanks to AInfos, and I keep forgetting to mention Tony Gosling and Martin Summers. They're doing some great stuff on AInfos. So support them in Pacifica. And please use your own brain.
For the connoisseurs, that was genuine gnome rock.
There's this great big blob of energy. It's swimming through the ethers.